What a trip this has been to try to cover the book of Psalms in nine classes. It's impossible. You do the math, you divide 150 by 9, and you come up with, I can't even do that in old math, much less this new math and everything, you know. But is that 16 Psalms a week or something like that? And so here's the approach that we've taken. We've introduced the book of Psalms. We've talked about the nature of all of the Psalms and things of that nature. And then... We have spent the first several minutes, 10 or 15 minutes, talking about some aspect of the Psalms, and then we've been looking at what I'd call Dan's favorite Psalms. I don't know what else to describe, but I really appreciate the fact that you've been complimentary. I don't mean that because it was good. I just didn't know if it'd work. I mean, is my favorite Psalm your favorite Psalms? What it amounts to. Here's what this is all about. Blessed is the man, Psalms 1, walks not the counsel of the ungodly, stands not the way of sinners, sits not in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now here's the blessed man. You want to flip that first verse around? Start that word cursed. Cursed is the man who walks in the counsel of the godly, stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful, And his delight is not in the law of the Lord, and on his law he does not meditate day and night. So last week we looked at we looked at part of Psalm 105 and looked at Psalm 106. And we're looking at Psalm 104. I think it's my favorite psalm. My favorite psalm is the last one I've read. Yeah, are you that way? But now look. How do you meditate on the law of the Lord? And that's why last week, when we looked at Psalm 106, we just talked about how David looked in the Bible. I mean, Psalm 106 is a historical psalm. David, how do you become a man after God's own heart? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What have you been thinking about? You tell me what you've been thinking about, and I can tell you a whole lot about your spirituality. And I'm not going to tell you what I've been thinking about. Is that okay? And so you've got to understand that if we're going to change what we are on the outside, we've got to start on the inside. All this self-help programs oftentimes starts externally. And sometimes some of that group kind of therapy, it's the peer pressure of those individuals in that group. And the end result is to try to change internally. Why don't we just start internally in the beginning? David is a man that has a heart like God's heart. David says, "Thy word have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not sin. I might not sin against you." Dealing with sin? I don't know what you've been thinking about. You know, I mean, Eve's got to look on that fruit and see how beautiful it is for her to ever be tempted and then believe the devil's lie that says, you'll be as wise as God if you'll just eat this. And whenever she doesn't have the word of God written on her heart, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy commandments. That's Psalm 119, verse 9. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. What do you do? Well, David, and that's what we did last week, David's faith came from the stories that he had heard about since he was a child. You know why it's important to teach your children the Bible? It's these Bible stories that build faith. Faith comes from, where's faith come from? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Romans 10:17, you want to have greater faith? You got to spend more time in the book. And the only way to do that is to turn your television off. I don't mean that entirely. I want you to understand. But we can't stand to be in the car by ourselves. You know what I did this morning? I've got it right here. I was teaching Psalms. Man, I love these smartphones. The only trouble is they're ahead of me. Okay. Here's what I've listened.
Cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees.
So I've listened to...
Mountains are for the wild goats.
I don't know how to turn this thing off. I'll turn the volume down, though. You know, I've listened to Psalms 104 10 times this morning. You know what I was doing? Brushing my teeth just like you did. You know what I was doing? Trying to get my hair to lay back there in place. Some of you don't seem to have that problem. And but you understand? And just over, think about that. And that one member who one year when we had those cassette tapes several years ago, we made those available, listened to the New Testament 10 times in one year going to work. You think that wouldn't change you? I cannot quote Psalm 104 and the 35 verses here, but I'm a whole lot closer to having it written on my heart. And that's what I want us to do tonight, this morning. Last week, we looked at Psalm 106 where David meditated on the law of the Lord. And you read Psalms 106. Sit down and read it. We talked about it last week. I hope it changed your heart. I hope you understand. That's where faith comes from. That's why we tell these Bible stories to these children. You know, to having been a missionary. How do you build faith in somebody? You tell them Bible stories. It's almost, this book's an amazing thing. You tell children Bible stories, and guess what happened? They build faith in God. I mean, it's just a part of their life. We've got too many verses to cover. Let's look at Psalms 104. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows what? Shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. What shows knowledge? The heavens declaring the glory of God. And the firmament, that's that which is below the heaven, the firmament shows His hands at work. That's what Psalms 19 says. And so then he says, every day it happens. Day unto day, nature speaks, there is a God. And night unto night, the stars and the planets shows the knowledge of God. Night unto night. And there's no speech or language where their voice, the voice of the heavens and the firmament, is not heard. Don't tell me that a man cannot know there's a God. There's no language on this earth. The most remote place on this earth, people can know there is a God. How? They won't know what God's will is. That's why Psalms 105 and 106 are important. Those historical psalms, and there are other historical psalms. David, in my favorite psalm, is thinking about God's creation. I don't know how many of the psalms David wrote. Some of the psalms start with the words of Psalm of David, but even that is not always trustworthy. Psalms 2 does not have the title of Psalm of David. Somebody's put that in there. The titles are there, anciently old, but it's not as old as the Hebrew manuscripts. But Psalms 2 is quoted in the New Testament, and the Holy Spirit said, oh, by the way, David wrote Psalms 2. In Acts chapter 4, he quotes Psalms 2. He says, that's the Psalm of David. And so when I read the book of Psalms, I don't necessarily look and say, is this the Psalm of David or not? But I want you to imagine a young boy who someday is going to fight a giant. He's a shepherd boy. And he's out there day and night with his sheep. Got to mark that down. Because David is going to let the heavens declare the glory of God in Psalms 104. And there's no way that we can do justice. Look at the last words of Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, all His works and all His places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see that? Bless the Lord. You know what the Hebrew way of saying bless the Lord? The word Lord, you see, it's in all capital letters. See the capital R, the capital D. That's the indication it's the word Jehovah. And so in the Hebrew, the word bless or praise is hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jehovah. And so if you're reading the Hebrew scriptures, you would say the last phrase in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, hallelujah, O my soul. Look at Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Look at the last phrase in verse 35. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. There it is. And but look at the last phrase in verse 30, or look at verse 34. May my meditations be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. David, what have you been thinking about? Shepherd boy David, or King David, 70 years of age. I think he died at 70. How does that encourage you or discourage you? Here is anciently old David, and he's sitting out looking at God's creation. So he says, O Lord my God, back in verse 1, you're great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself with light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a curtain. That's poetic. That's why it's a psalm. It's not a historical thing. It's not narrative. The heavens are not a curtain. They're just like a curtain. But it says you clothe yourself with light. In the beginning, the earth was filled with darkness, and he who is the light of the world, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, said, let there be light. And the transfiguration of Jesus, when he was transformed from being whatever he was in that fleshly body, and at the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transformed. What did he look like? Brighter than the noonday sun. You are clothed with light. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the water. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks on the wings of the wind. He makes his angel spirits his ministers a flame of fire. That's remarkable, the poetic aspect of this. The beams of the Lord, and I don't know if that's the beams like the beams upholding this auditorium or if it's the underpinning. The beams like the floor joist. And so here the beams of his upper chambers are in the waters. And so there's God's upper chambers. And God is tied directly to this earth. And David sits there and he looks at the majesty, like that little girl said to her daddy as they were out looking at the stars. And she said to her daddy, Daddy, if the bottom side of heaven is this pretty, think of how pretty the top side's got to be. And that's where David is. And folks, that's where we've got to be. When's the last time that you heard the voice of the heavens declare the glory of God to you? You're too busy. We're just absolutely too busy. And so he says, he's like that. You laid the foundation of the earth so it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. And the earth was without what? Form and void, Genesis 1. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And then God said, let the mountains be gathered. And the earth was covered with water. It was upon the face of the deep. And and the voice of God said, let the dry land appear. And look what happened. He says, the water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went over the mountains, or we went down to the valleys to the place which you have founded for them, and you've set a boundary that they should not pass over. Hello. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the energy whenever God said, let all of these mountains appear? I can't begin to imagine it. And he talks about the flash of the fire which may have reference to the lightning. He talks a little bit later about God touching the mountains, and there are the volcanoes that come out. Can you imagine the power of God whenever the Lord at your rebuke they fled? God said, mountains come up, waters go out, and all of a sudden, all over this globe of ours, all of a sudden, the waters rushed all over the place, and the mountains sprang up. They were covered with water, And what happened? Now they're the valleys. Dry land appear. And having made the dry land, he's going to talk about the sun and the moon and the stars in just a minute. But he's also going to talk about that which appears on this land, and that is all of the animals that are there. Shepherd boy David, what are you thinking about when you're out there taking care of the sheep? Oh, I see an airplane. Wonder where that airplane's going. I see a manifestation of God. That's where David is. You want to be like David? Then you've got to think like David thinks and see the magnitude of God. He said, you better set a boundary over them that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. Perhaps a reference to God's promise after the flood. And I'm going to change the who and the he in these next several verses. And I'm just going to say the word God, because the he and the who is God. But it reads more clearly if I just substitute the word God. Now the valleys appears, and God sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. And beside them, the birds of the heavens have their homes. They sing among the branches. What you see, David? Next time you're up in some place that's got mountains, you know how blessed you are? You know what David saw? He saw that string. What is that string? Isn't that beautiful? That is so pretty. You know why it's there? God knew the beast of the fields needed water. And he gave water. Look, you see the word every? He gives water to every beast of the fields. And there those animals come and they quench their thirst. Pictures you see of safaris and things over in Africa, what do they have? There's the watering hole. And what happened? All of the animals all over come to that very place. You know why that water is there? Because God put it there and God knew that those beasts needed it. And you want to say, if God's, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than a sparrow? That's what David is. David, what makes you spiritual? Because I think about God. And when I'm out and I see just a mountain stream, and I see the mountains, and I see the valleys, and I see the wild donkeys quenching their thirst there, and beside them the birds of the heaven make their nest. Would somebody Google real quick and find out how many birds there are? Now go ahead, use your smartphone if you're smart enough, and find out how many birds there are in the world. We've got to talk about these birds. Beside them, the birds make their nest. This word birds here indicates a smaller bird. In a minute, we're going to read about a larger bird that's translated stork. You ever seen a stork? Don't remember. We got four kids, but didn't see the birds, you know. But think about the eagles. Tiny birds, big birds. Little beast, big beast. The beast of the field quench their thirst beside there. And besides them, the fowls of the air, the birds of the heavens have their home. And they sing. They sing. How many birds are there? 400 billion. Did you say B?
B. That's an average.
400 billion birds. A And Jesus says, stop what you're doing. Behold the fowls of the air. That's a commandment as much as to praise God. It's a commandment like any commandment that's in the Bible. It is as binding upon us as the commandment, make an ark, was binding upon Noah. And the Lord says, stop what you're doing and look at the birds. What about them? They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. 400 billion. I would ask Daniel, since you're so good, to find out the life expectancy of birds. You want to find that one? If you're on the same website that I'm on, he's talking it into his, you know. I have to type in, use all my thumbs and mess it up and have to hit the backspace 1,000, you know. I wish I didn't have fat thumbs. I know I'm retarded in a lot of ways. That's another way. Half of the birds die every year.
An average of 2 to 5 years.
Is how?
2 to 5 years.
2 to 5 years. I read someone, 1/2 of the birds die every year. They sow not, neither do they reap. And yet, your Father feeds them. You've never seen a skinny bird. Isn't that amazing? You want to live? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, gather into barns. And so he says, and they're singing. Oh, why do you sing? Poetically, they're praising God. We're going to find in a few minutes about the beast and their attitude toward God when they're out looking for food. And here are these birds. If any is merry, let him do what? You know James 5? Is any merry? Let him sing. Why? Because birds are happy. You got a bird? Ever forget to buy food for it? How would you like to be in charge of buying bird seed for 400 billion birds? And yet not one of them, Jesus says, not one of them falls to the earth without your Father. Driving down the highway and a bird hits your windshield. That ever happened to you?
Yeah.
you know what? What's that? What was that? And then in the rearview mirror, you sort of see something. Guess what? God saw all that happening. What did you do? 1 millisecond later, you forgot the bird and checked your windshield. That's us. That's not God. And so he says, here's these streams that are there, and besides them, they're singing in the branches. He waters the hills from the upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his work, and he causes the grass to grow for the cattle. How remarkable. You ever think about that, about all this vegetation that's out there? Why is it there? Because he's going to take care of his creation. David, what do you see? He sees God taking care of his creation. And he sees all of this vegetation and sees all of the cattle that are there and vegetation for the service of man that he may bring forth food from the earth. The ESV talks about he's given man the work of going out and digging, and it implies digging all of this and providing his own food. See, the birds don't, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Father feeds them. Wine that makes glad the heart of man. Understand that we only use the word wine to talk about intoxicating drink. There's only, the same word is used both for intoxicating and unintoxicating grape juice or fermented grape juice. And I'm telling you, wine that makes the hearts glad is not that intoxicating kind. The guy's unhappy when he starts drinking, and after he gets drunk, he's even worse off than he was. God gives us wine and oil and bread. And so he mentions the oil to make his face shine and bread to strengthen man's heart. You ever walked in tired? What'd you do? Give me something to eat. Judah and I have an agreement in our marriage that she won't talk about negative, won't talk about hard things to me on an empty stomach, because I'm not a Christian. There are two times I'm not a Christian. One's when I'm hungry. That's why I eat all the time. And the other is in the middle of the night. By the way, Judy and I have an agreement that what we say to each other in the middle of the night when we wake up doesn't even count in our marriage. I have enough trouble being a godly man. And when I'm barely awake, there's no telling what, you know, that's not who I want to be. That may be who I am, but let's not count that in our marriage. Then he says, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. The word full in this verse, you ought to underline it every time that it's here. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted where the birds make their nest. Why is he looking at birds? Because Jesus says, look at the birds. And I know there's no such word that I'm about to use, but you'll understand if I talk about birdology and a birdologist, I'm neither of those, never studied the one, or am I the other? But birds use particular kinds of material to build their nests. People who know birds and everything, and they'll even put the height of their nest at certain places. And David says, and God put those big tall trees of cedar in Lebanon because there are birds that need big tall trees. We're too busy. We are absolutely too busy to do the very thing that would make us more spiritual. And he says, the birds make the nest, the stork has her homes in the fir trees, the high hills are for the wild goats, and the cliffs are for the rock badgers. Why on earth you have all this uninhabitable land, you know? You've been to the Rockies? You've been up there where you're above the tree line and everything? Guess what? There are animals up there. Why? Why those mountains? Because God knew those animals needed those kinds of mountains. Isn't that amazing? You know, birds need building material to build their nest, and God provides that building material for the birds. And here are these animals that need these places that may be uninhabitable to us, and yet God makes all of those. And then he talks about the moon for the season. And the sun knows it's going down. The ESV says the sun knows when it's time to set. Isn't that amazing? We figured it out. But poetically, David says, and the sun knows when it's time to set. And when the sun sets, all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lion roars after its prey. We've talked before about the fact that evidently in biblical times, the lions that we associate with Africa perhaps were in Palestine. There's some evidence that those lions were, they're not just these mountain cats, you know. That's not what we're talking about. When David said, he delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion, we're talking about the big things. David is out there, and he's taking care of this sheep, and he hears this lion roar. What are you hearing, David? I'm scared to death. That's Dan. David, what are you hearing? I heard that lion. Dan, what are you? I'm scared to death. And David heard that lion roar, and he says it roars after his prey and seeks his food from God. You hear a bird sings. It's because God gave him the nest and the material to build the nest. He gave him the food so that he doesn't have to sow or reap or gather into barns. And he's singing in the trees. Behold the fowls of the air. Listen to the fowls of the air. You want to be more spiritual? You'll never know what his will is. You'll never know what his will is without revelation of his will. But you'll know there is God, and you'll learn so much about the nature of God if you'll take time to behold, the fowls are there, and listen to the birds singing, and hear the lions roar. And he's praying to God. That's what it says. Give me food. Folks, we want to change who we are. It's not going to happen because you hear sermons. It'll help if you have the right kind of heart. But there's wayside soil, and there's stony ground, and there's thorny ground. And so that individual that has that open heart, he will be changed by hearing the Word of God. But David says, if you want to let God change you, let the heavens declare the glory of God. And let the firmament show His handiwork. The young lions roar after their prey, that's verse 21, and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, those creatures, nighttime animals that are out, they gather together. They go back to their dens. And man goes out to his work and to his labor until it's night again. And day unto day, night unto night, this cycle goes on and on and on and on. It's amazing. You understand why this is one of my favorite psalms? Yes, Gary.
We have a psalm in our book. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he's watching me.
Isn't that amazing? That song in our book, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And that's right. I mean, all that does is just saying, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven to be burned, shall he not much more clothe you? Paraphrase, if God so feed the 400 billion birds so that not a single one of them is skinny, shall he not much more feed you? Why take ye thought for the morrow, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? After all these things the pagans seek. Your Father knows you. Put your name there. Your Father knows you. Oh, I hate that bell. O Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom if you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. The great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things. How many little shellfish are there in the ocean? You dig up on the beach and you see 400 billion shells. And he says, in this sea are these innumerable teeming things, living things, great and small. That's where the ships sail about. And there is that Leviathan. We'll have time. We'll come back and talk about that, which you have made to play there. These all wait for you. Remember we talked one of the Psalms and talked about the word wait and how it's used in the Bible? And so here all the living seas, all the living creatures in the sea, they all wait for you that you may give them their food in their season. And what you give them, they gather in. You open your hand and they are filled with good. And you hide your face, their trouble. You take away the breath that is in them, and they die. You send forth your spirit, and the word spirit and breath sometimes are used interchangeably, at least in concept. You send forth your spirit, and guess what? There's another generation of birds and lions and storks. And every beast of the field, they die, and yet God renews this earth and replenishes this earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. God looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills, perhaps the volcanoes. and they smoke. Application of the lesson. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Why are you here today? Because the heavens declare His glory and the firmament shows His handiwork, and because God feeds me. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad to the Lord. Is the Lord's, is your meditation sweet to the Lord? Folks, slow down. You want to be spiritual? We are so committed in our lives, we've hardly got time to turn around. We finish one job and we're 5 minutes late starting the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And here's a shepherd boy who found a place in his life even while he was doing the work assigned to him. Here is that shepherd boy. And in the midst of that, he found time to be spiritual. I wish we had more time. Wish we had more time. That's it for today. We'll take a few minutes break, and then we'll have our regular Sunday worship.